when he saw them, this is Jesus, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were miraculously healed and made clean. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, glorifying and praising and honoring God with a loud voice. And he lay face downward at Jesus' feet, thanking him over and over. He was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, were not 10 of you cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was there no one found to return and to give thanks and praise to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to him, get up and go on your way. Your faith, this is your personal trust in me, and your confidence in God's power has restored you to health. Isn't that encouraging? Okay, so I just want to give you a little bit of background about leprosy in Bible times. That was a very, very serious illness. So if you contracted leprosy, which was caused by a bacterial infection, you were a cast out. You were not allowed to mingle with the people. You were to be outside on the outskirts of a village or a town because this was such a serious, contagious illness. And what it does is it destroys the body. So it destroys the inner organs. It usually starts on the flesh. You can see it on the face or on, it's not nowadays anymore, but in those days, on the arms or on the skin somewhere. And it would also attack the nervous system of a person. And so because the nerve ends die down, then those kinds of people, they wouldn't realize if they were to take maybe a hot coal or something into their hands, that it would actually burn their hands. So what it did was it destroyed the warning system that was in the body. Now that's important. Make a note of that. That's what it did. And there wasn't really a cure in those days. And so it was an awful, awful disease to have. It wasn't something you would wish on your worst enemy. And we see this situation where Jesus crossed the paths of these 10 lepers. Now, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. He was passing along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered the village, he was met by these 10 lepers. So I want to break it down into 3 points to remember. So if you can remember, in that passage, there was a crying out to Jesus or a calling out to Jesus by these 10 lepers. That's the first point. The second point, there was an act of obedience, and they moved by faith. And the third point, there was an attitude of gratitude. Those 3 points. So the calling out to God, or to Jesus, rather. Then it was the act of obedience, moving in faith with it. And then the third point, the attitude of gratitude. So they called out to Jesus. I just want you to note in verse 13 where it says, and they raised their voices and called out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They called him Master. How did they know that? They must have known something of that he heals and that things happen when he's in the area. They didn't say, heal us. They said, have mercy on us, as in, we need you so much in every area of our lives because there's no cure for us. When Jesus saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. You know, the priests in those days, they were like the health officials. If you went to show yourself to the priest and they pronounced you ceremonial clean, then you could come back into the village and live amongst the people again. This is just a bit of background. So Jesus said, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were miraculously healed and made clean. Remember that, as they went. And then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, glorifying and praising and honoring God with a loud voice. I read up a little bit about this leprosy and what it does to people. It also affected the larynx, like the throat. So to shout with a loud voice wouldn't have been possible for them. They didn't have much of a voice if they were affected by that kind of illness. They would just have like a croaky voice or just a little bit of a voice. So to have a loud voice must have been a miracle. It must have been amazing to hear your voice at that level after not having a loud voice for so many years or however long they had this illness. And I think if one of us were healed of leprosy, we would have a loud voice too. He lay face downwards at Jesus' feet, thanking him over and over. And he was a foreigner. He was a Samaritan. Do you remember that Samaritans didn't get on well with people in those days? They didn't get on well with people of that area. They were foreigners. And it was the foreigner that went back. So these are the points that I felt God just highlighted, which I want to share with you. So as I was reading about leprosy and the effects of leprosy, I was just thinking of us. I said, Lord, how do you apply it to this day and age that we are living in? And I was thinking, isn't it true that there's many things that can distract us every day? If you think of technology, it's a blessing, but it can also be quite a distraction. There's lots of pressures on people. Financial pressures, relational pressures, lots of pressures every day that you can feel. Lord, my life is so pressurized. And I believe the Lord is saying we can sometimes be a little bit like those lepers. Not ill like they were to that degree physically in our body. But where it said the warning system is destroyed, it really struck me. I thought, Lord, our warning system can be destroyed. If we don't cultivate an attitude of gratitude, our warning system can be destroyed. Let's just run through that sequence again quickly. So there were 10 lepers. They saw Jesus. They called out to him. So Jesus, it says Jesus looked and he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. So he didn't say be healed. He just said the word. He didn't touch them. He just said a word. Like he spoke the world into existence. He just said the word. And as they walked, they were healed. So they could have said, well, I don't know about this Jesus. Maybe it won't work. But they listened, they obeyed, and they moved in faith, didn't they? They moved towards that priest to show themselves to the priest. Now, I found that so interesting because you had to be clean to actually even enter the presence of the priest. And here they're going, not being clean yet, walking by faith, not knowing if it will happen. They just had to trust and be obedient that the healing would come as they walk. And then when they saw the priest, obviously they were pronounced that they are healed. So sometimes we don't see everything. We might be in a situation where we feel this is really hard. Lord, it might feel, if I can say, like a leprous situation. I can't see the outcome, but you've given me a word. I've sought you, I've prayed, and you've given me a word. And on the strength of that word, Lord, I'm going. And as I'm going, and as I'm trusting, you will change the situation. And as I'm going and as I'm trusting, the healing will come because you're faithful. But that's not the whole story. That's not the whole package of what Jesus wants us to have. It's the third bit that I really feel God wants us to get today. And that is the leper who came back. The guy who was completely healed. He came back and he thanked Jesus. The other nine didn't do it. Did it take away their healing? No, it didn't. They were still healed. But number 10, the person who came back and shouted with a loud voice and said over and over, thank you, thank you. He was so grateful that he was healed. It says, if you look in the Greek Hebrew, it says he was made whole. The others were healed physically, but this person was made whole. Sozo is the word that's used. I think we've heard of sozo a lot, haven't we? He was made whole, spirit, soul, and body. And I believe the Lord is saying to us, if we can cultivate an attitude of gratitude, even if the situation feels leprous, even if the situation feels really, really hard, if we can cultivate that attitude, then healing can come into the situation. It can come, wholeness can come into the situation. And you know, there's not one of us that are not faced with trials. We're all faced with trials, aren't we? It could be in family life, it could be relational, it could be health-wise, it could be financial. Even living for the Lord these days is becoming challenging. So we have to put our roots down really, really deep. And I believe this is part of preparing us to be strong, to cultivate a heart of gratitude. Even if we can't say thank you for what we're in, it's such a hard situation. We can say, thank you, Lord. You will make all things work for good for those who love you. I thank you because you saved me. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you, Lord, for your promises. I thank you, Lord, for this word that still has freedom in the United Kingdom. That's a privilege. Thank you, Jesus. Help us to use the time wisely. That we will use the time to get your word into our hearts so that we will not sin against you, that we will stand in days ahead. Sometimes we just go about our day, you know, and I'm very guilty of this. So we get busy and things happen and we lose that grateful heart. I just sat in the house the other day and I thought, Lord, there's so many things to be grateful for. You might find this a bit strange, but I'm very grateful that we have animals. I think the Lord knew I was going to marry a vet, hey? So if I struggled with that, it would have been a problem. I love stroking that animal. It's like therapy for me. That black Labrador, if she comes to the door and I can stroke that head, it does something. Thank you, Lord, for creating dogs. They're a man's best friend. It's not that I don't stroke the border collies. She just runs away. So many things to be grateful for. And we're in a season of thanksgiving, aren't we? We're in the Christmas time. Let's remember what Jesus did for us so we don't settle for second best. Lord, I don't just want to be touched in one area. I want you to touch me, spirit, soul, and body. I want to have such a deep gratitude, like Phil said last week, something that's anchored in my spirit, not something that's just in my soul. I want such a deep, deep gratitude. Help me, Lord, in 2020 to cultivate an attitude of gratitude. I like the ring of that. I'm thinking, how can we do it on a practical level? And there's just a few simple ideas that came to me. I think one thing is to listen to people. We don't always take time to listen. We're always in a hurry, aren't we? We can look someone in the eyes. It makes them feel appreciated. We can give someone a hug. We can... yeah, says George. We can make someone a coffee more than usual. We can send a message. We can ring someone we haven't rung before. We can buy maybe a little present or a bunch of flowers. Do random acts of kindness. I saw on an Instagram post, someone said, if you can leave a drink for the postman, or like, you know, a juice or whatever, or the person who delivers your Amazon Prime order, if you can leave a little, if you can leave a little gift for that person, it's a random act of kindness that comes from a grateful heart. Thank you, Lord, that they do deliver. And they work long hours. You know, there's so many things we can be grateful for. Our families. Thank you for our families, Lord. Thank you that we have food. Thank you that we have a roof over our head. In every country, it's a different story. In South Africa, you can't press a button, Amazon Prime, and then it's delivered the next day. It's not possible, or it might get lost. Or something else might happen to it, you know. So there's many things to be grateful for. Yes. I feel that's the message I felt God had put on my heart for today. I just want to recap those 3 points. This is a very special chapter for me, just before I recap, because some of you know the story, how God healed my skin. I had such a bad skin trouble. It's the truth. And I didn't know that there was anything in the Bible about God healing people's skins. And so when I read about the lepers, I thought, wow, if he did it for the lepers, he can do it for me. And so if Jesus turned to that person and said, get up and go on your way, your faith, your personal trust in me, and your confidence in God's power has restored you to health. If it was done then, it can be done today. We all have a measure of faith. Faith is something that grows, isn't it? But we all have a measure of faith. We have enough faith to cultivate an attitude of gratitude. Even if we don't feel like it, we can say, Lord, I trust you for this situation which seems so impossible. Thank you that you will work all things for good for me because I love you. Even if we start there, that's a good point to start. And if we can cultivate that, then the whole thing can change around. So I want to end with Psalm 23 from the Passion Translation. We all know this very well, and wherever you go, everyone knows Psalm 23. Let it just wash over you. Yeah, let the Lord just speak to you. Remember that we have a good shepherd. The Lord is my best friend, at 1 minute, and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. He offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. His tracks take me to an oasis of peace, the quiet brook of bliss. And that's where he restores and he revives my life. He opens before me pathways to God's pleasure and leads me along in his footsteps of righteousness so that I can bring honor to his name. Lord, even when your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for you already have. That's amazing. You remain close to me and lead me through it all the way. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. You become my delicious feast, even when my enemies dare to fight. You anoint me with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit. You give me all I can drink of you until my heart overflows. So why would I fear the future? For your goodness and love pursue me all the days of my life. Then afterwards, when my life is through, I'll return to your glorious presence to be with you forever. That goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And you will be in the house of the Lord forever. Can I just pray? Lord, I know this was just a really short message, but I pray that in 2020, Help us, Lord, to cultivate an attitude of gratitude, even in areas where maybe we've grumbled and complained. We don't want to miss the promised land because of that, Lord. We want the full blessing that you have in mind for us in our lives. So, Lord, help us to make this choice. It's a choice, remember. Help us to make this choice, Lord. Help us to form new patterns of thinking about situations that will appreciate the people in our lives, that will appreciate all the things that you've blessed us with. Even this morning, I thank you for this building. It's a beautiful building, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the blue skies in England. Thank you, Lord, for this time where we can remember the price you've paid for us. Thank you that we can just gather as friends. And thank you that today we can celebrate as well, Eddie and Heather. Thank you for the wonderful foundation you've laid in this church. Thank you, Lord, for all the ministries that have gone from here. Thank you for our family that could be part of this church. I just want to make it a bit personal. Thank you for our children that were dedicated here. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to all of us. May we carry it in our hearts, Lord, so that we will not become ungrateful, that we will be so extremely grateful for all the good things you shower us with every day. For we do not deserve it, Lord. It's only by your grace. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.